Everybody, look out, watch out, look up, it's Keep Up. With your boy Still Insane.
And me, Robert Mercado World. Hey.
What's up, Robert? Welcome back. Welcome back. I was in Mexico. We'll talk about that deep dive into that ocean, that Gulf, later in the segment. But I want to ask first and foremost, like every episode going forward, how you doing mentally, bro? How's your mental health going? Mental health check.
Well, hearing that you were in Mexico, you know, it brings new meaning to build the wall, you know. Could have kept your ass over there.
And Mexico's going to build it. And they're going to pay for it.
But I'm doing well. I'm having a great day. I went to the gym. I'm feeling like I can move, like I can feel, I can breathe. And I feel good. I feel great. How about you?
Good, good. Are your biceps too big to wipe your ass? Like some people can't like move. They're just like in like a box, like they're doing like the robot when they work out.
I have to wear this shirt, otherwise my biceps are so big it's distracting. And you know,
it's distracting me right now, Robert. We're not We look next to each other, but we're not. Your biceps would take up the whole screen. Come on, man.
I gotta keep them under wraps with some Disney magic.
All right, welcome guys to Keep Up Live. This is the first live episode. We have done 5 previous episodes before this. You can check them out on stillofinsane.com. You can check them on Still of Insane, Robert Mercado World. We have Keep Up the web series. We have done about like 2 episodes. No, we've done a few episodes of those, but they're all little mini episodes. We've done around 2 recordings of those. He does a great job promoting them. He does a great job directing film. Hold up, bravo. Where's my flowers for Robert? Robert writes the scripts for the web series. He directs them. He does the costume design, like the costume, what do you call it? Like, I know, like, you don't, like, yeah, you're the costume design, like, pretty much. Is there, like, a better word for it, for what we do?
Right now, my brain is not for that.
The locations that we do, like he sets up the location for it. Like we have the location set, but like he, like, you know, does the aesthetics for it, set design. But bravo, you're doing a great job with that. It is obviously synergy with this show, with our brand, and you do a great job of it. You hold the mantle well. Thank you, Robert.
Yes, there's 3 episodes already up. We have a 4th episode coming this weekend because we were waiting until we got to the 1,000th view for the most recent episode, and we've achieved that. Thank you, everybody, for watching. And so the next episodes will be coming accordingly, at least 1 a week, ideally. So look out, great. Watch out. Okay, keep up.
And for those that have been live with us before, right now we are on Facebook, we are on YouTube, and we are on Twitch. I am actually testing that out. I don't really have that big of a following on Twitch yet, but I would like to start doing some shows on there. I play a lot of video games, so I might as well start recording them. And again, it will cross-promote this show. It will cross-promote some of the stuff that Robert's been working on. Robert, what have you been working on outside of the Keep Up Network?
Outside the Keep Up Network, I've been working on my project with Patrick Corbett, which is my favorite doorman, a web series coming soon. The Divine Intervention, which we shot a bunch of episodes, and now I'm in the editing process for it. I'm in the sketch group for a series of Unfortunate Folks, and we'll be performing May 31st and June 1st. If there's a May 31st, if not, it's May 30th and June 1st.
I think there is. So, I think that's 31 days. There's 31 days. There's,
okay, yeah, so 31 and
30 days in April. 30 days in April, 31 in May.
Excellent. There you go. So we'll be doing 31st and June 1st. So yes, I've been.
My mom knows the limerick or whatever that little jingle is, like 30 days past September or blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't even know. She memorizes every time. My grandmother knows it too. I can't remember for the life of me.
All we got is like for our generations, like my neck, my back, my that's all we got for rhyming. Nothing useful.
Right. It went from Schoolhouse Rocks to damn, my neck hurts. Lick my ass while you're at it. Shout out to Gabby. What was her name? That's my homegirl. I loved her.
Not even Kia.
Kia. No. Loved Kia. Okay. That was great. She was like our times of Dina Howard. Okay. Great. Shout out to Charlene. She is in the second version of our episodes, a little mini bed. Actually, she's a co-star of the show. She is a major focal point. Junior Bleed, my friend and neighbor. He came out to Williamsburg to film this as well. Thank you to Luz and her place. And shout out to her for watching the episodes. She's a great fan of the show. We love her. I love the little mini houses, the mini replicas. Those are really, really cool. She's very talented. Oh,
she'll appreciate hearing that. Follow her on TikTok.
Oh, yeah. I got to do that. I didn't even see her.
Comment your TikTok in the comments when you're watching this.
Nice. Yes. Oh, that's what I meant to say. Those have seen Keep Up before. Keep Up has only been live since season 4. And now we are continuing that tradition with Robert. And if you have comments, please comment. We will answer. It's only us right now, so we don't have any assistants or any interns or any free labor. So it's just us. So it'll take me a little while to get through the banners, the graphics, and I didn't even do it. Oh my God. I didn't even do the theme song, but if we do it live, I mean, not live, post, I'll put that in there. Wow. See, I already messed up, but we'll do it right now. Why not? Just for effects.
Just for the giggles.
Just for the giggles.
Diamonds are forever.
Our Robert, cut that out. Spotify is going to delete that because that's not licensed. I'm joking. You can sing it.
My voice is too close to Marilyn Monroe or whoever.
Oh, I want to watch. I haven't seen that yet. The one with Ben Affleck's old girlfriend, the blonde. Anna. What was her name? She was Spanish. She was Latin.
Anna de Armas?
Yes, she played Marilyn Monroe in a movie like a few years ago, and I never got to see it. It's a black and white.
She dated Ben Affleck?
She did for a while. Mark, yo.
I only know Jennifer
Garner. I'm watching Golden Girl reruns. And this is not an apology to J-Lo. This is an apology to J-Lo's children. I still don't think they're visually appealing, but from what my co-host has told me, he wants to disassociate himself from that. But that makes sense. Robert is a talented individual. He's his own brand outside of this show as well. And I believe that his talent will get him in the same room as J-Lo. So I just want to preface that. If you want to take it on anyone, J-Lo, in your orange drink, you can take it out on me. Robert is a full-on supporter, and he does not deserve the angst if you ever watch any of these episodes. So,
yeah,
just saying, you can separate us when it comes to that. Robert's not a part of that joke or any jokes about J-Lo. Robert is a firm believer. Yes, and I want to see that. I want to see him, you know, because Robert is a fly girl, and I need him to be with other fly girls. And
besides the Golden Girls.
That's right, fly girls and Golden Girls. That's all we about.
Okay.
So
you ready?
I'm ready. Robert knows that I'm fucking crazy, so he never asks how mentally I'm doing. So it's okay. I'm just gonna move on.
How are you? Are you all right?
No, it's okay. It's okay, Robert. It's all right. I can't afford therapy, so I just bring it here. What are you doing, Robert?
Okay. Just leave it. Nobody cares, really.
It's very true. It's very true. It's okay. I'm holding on by a thread, but don't you worry. Shout out to anybody that's going through any type of mood. Use all the tools in your toolbox. Know that there's people out there. Know that there's friends out there, family. Even if you feel like you don't, I know that sounds all cliche, but there has to be somebody, a stalker.
And even if there's nobody, you know, find the things that bring you comfort and joy, whether it's like a TV show, something that's a little bit nostalgic, what's your favorite, whatever, you know, you got to figure out how to fake it till you make it, they say. So if there's something that's going to bring a little bit of joy into your life and keep you out of that funk, you know, go for a run, get out, get some sun, hit the beach, do things you've never done before, and take chances and live.
And live.
The hardest thing to do in this world is living it. Be brave.
I'm with that. I'm with that. So on the next topic, it's a very, very sensitive topic. So we're going to try to tightrope. We're not that type of show. We're not trying to bog anybody down. But we are about the revolution. We're about different revolutions. Sometimes we're on the same page, me and Robert. But let's see where Robert lays on this egg.
I'm going to be laying on sipping my tea.
Right? He's on the
hot seat. I don't want to go down like Melissa Barrera.
Oh, shit. Oh, true. Okay, yeah, so we'll tread lightly. It's true. So I used to work at a news agency. And they quote-unquote, were liberal-leaning. And we were not allowed to talk about the conflict in the Middle East. We were not allowed to ever. The number one topic was Trump. And again, this was a liberal station. So it was just like, I used to be in the writer's room. I used to be in the pitch meetings. And I'd be like, what are you guys trying to get this guy reelected or something? Like, why? Or like, we're a liberal station. I'm not saying don't report on him. He's the president. But they were obsessed with him. And I think because they were a French company, France, for better or worse, is an ally of Israel. And I don't think they want that smoke. And I don't want it either, to be honest. I just want to talk about these protests that are happening in Palestine, on college campuses around the world, actually, now. UCLA, Columbia University, some CUNY schools, everywhere. There's a lot of schools out there, George Washington, a lot of different things happening on there. But once again, we were not allowed to report on that situation because it's such a tangled web. When I was younger, I used to have more vocal stance on it, and I lost a lot of friends. I used to work at a Jewish camp, and damn, they took it really, really personally. I had a lot of, again, I'm not trying to make this a negative word, a lot of Zionist friends that I didn't know. I was not educated. I'm still not.
You were at a Jewish camp?
I did. It wasn't called a Jewish camp, but it was a Jewish day camp. It was Jewish owned, and I was very much a minority. I'm already a minority in America, but when you're at a Jewish camp, you're even more a minority. It may not seem like it, but that's how it felt. But it was still fun. I had a great time. No regrets. I love it all. Don't even have to say it. But my point is that I ticked off a lot of people back then. And so I do have an opinion on it, but it's not worth trampling on people's safety. It's not worth hurting anybody's feelings. All fair. I'm down. But on this show, I'm not trying to offend anybody in that arena. That is an arena that we don't need to. But again, there are people protesting. It is not the first time college campuses have protested. We have the great Berkeley one from the Richard Nixon era, where Vietnam, one of the first, actually probably the first war being protested in American history. And now, whatever the conflict may be, it could be Occupy Wall Street. It could be, there was many of them. There was the George Floyd protests. There was the insurrection on January 6th. There was, protests, the Boston Tea Party, if we're going to go back even further, hundreds of years. In my opinion, that is probably the most American thing you could do. The most New York thing you can do is complain and sue. But the most American thing you can do is protest. And so going through all of that, there's been police presence. They've talked about the National Guard. President Joe Biden, he is not nudged on his stance, his policies with Israel. But I get it. They're not voting for him. There are many people, Michigan, they abstained from voting for him. They said, like, no. So it's weird because they want action from him, but they already declared progressives, which I consider myself, and I'm still going to vote for him. But progressives have written him off already. They said, yeah, I'm not voting for Trump, but I'm also not voting for Biden because of his policies in Palestine. And so with all of this, the stakes in this is to divest from Israeli companies, the government per se, not the people. And so there's been lots of name calling, like anti-Semitism. There's been people that have felt personal to this. There are people from those areas, Palestine, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Egypt, everybody involved with this. So in saying all that, how do you feel about all this, Robert? That was a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know, the headline we have up is about, you know, the people in the schools, the students, how they feel in particular about the, you know, the connection with their schools and funding for Israel and the happenings there. And I think I could imagine being a student anywhere and knowing that your money is funding a war. And it's like, you can't help but feel shitty while you're like living in the privilege of having a life where you're actually able to go to school successfully, have your day in and out, be normal, right? You're worrying about grades, where these people in these other countries who are being affected directly are like, I'm worried about having a place to sleep and eat, clean water to drink, food for my children. My children are dead. My whole entire family is now dead. I'm the last person left in my family. So, you know, it's interesting to see that the students actually around the world give a fuck, that they actually care. You know, that's great to see that people are aware of the privilege that it comes with to be able to go to school, especially as, like, you know, after like high school, where you're probably paying for it, or some countries they give it you for free. But in any case, it's a privilege to go to college and to be able to have that lifestyle where you can go day in and out as an almost adult person and not to necessarily like work full time. And for these people to take an interest in, you know, something that's not directly maybe affecting them, quote, you know, that's great. I think people should take an interest, like, especially like in America, like you said, you know, the most American thing you can do is protest and let your voice be heard, whether it's about whatever topic. So, yeah, I think for me, I think, hey, if you got something to say, say it, let your voice be heard, and, you know, do what you got to do till it's heard. Yeah.
My next question, my follow up question for that is, what's the limit? So the Boston Tea Party, they threw off the tea. There was tyranny, started a war, Benedict Arnold, all that good stuff. George Floyd, that set off lots of violence. Americans sometimes burn the city down when a championship is won, a sports championship. Like I said, there was people that went inside a Capitol building while an election was going on. Right now, there are encampments. I used to work at Columbia University. Hamilton Hall was taken over. What's the line? Where do we occupy Wall Street? They took over the whole park, Zuccotti Park. Where's the limit? I don't have a big bar, but I would like to know yours.
Well, I think when there becomes violence, that's always like an automatic no. So there shouldn't be any violence. There shouldn't be anybody in direct danger from the action that you're taking to protest. And even when you're blocking streets, sometimes they block streets and it blocks ambulances from getting by, stuff like that. So that could be very dangerous. So for me, I'm about protests that may interrupt the norm in some aspects, but when you're blocking streets that could stop ambulances from getting by and someone could die from a result of that, or you're doing anything like throwing rocks at police officers or anything like that, like, those are things that for me I don't think are okay. And destroying public property I don't think is okay. And I think most, you know, I would just like to see from the people in charge, if they have these ideas that, oh, the January 6ers, they need to be in jail for these last few years for whatever they did, then I think that they should make sure that they treat everybody the same. Because if you were at the insurrection, you've been in jail rotting all this time, and then you see people, you know, doing whatever, and they're okay, they're getting away with it, you'd be feeling salty, and you'd be wondering, like, oh, is the system just, is it going after me for my beliefs, but doesn't go after these people for their beliefs? So it's like, there should be an even blind justice. I also think that they should keep.
What is your comparison? Where a liberal, what Capitol building has a liberal been in? Where they protest?
What Capitol building? Oh, well, I think like when you see like what happened like during the George Floyd protests in particular, there was a lot of statues that got torn down, things like that. They get pointed out and people were put in danger. And there was, you know, lots of incidents that happened. What I noticed the criticism has been where it's like, it didn't feel very even keeled. Like Nancy Pelosi went on TV and was like, people will do what they do. And it's like, oh, people will do what they do till it's January 6th. Then it's lock those motherfuckers up, throw away the key, you know.
Well, that's why I feel like there's a key difference. Destroying property is a lot different than just trying to destroy your government. That's tyranny. Destroying property, you can build that back up. Hitting people, I agree. Hurting people is not okay. And I'm not saying, you know, it's so crazy. I never really believed in crisis actors. I have one of my friends that admitted that he used to get paid to be at protests and stuff. So that's a little disgusting. Whatever side that's on. I also been listening lately, and it's finally penetrated my brain about extremists. And I had this conversation with my boy Ernesto in Mexico. And I do believe there's extremists on both sides, especially even with this Palestinian Israel conflict. I was listening to a Jewish broadcast, and the person said, I think we forget that there's extremists on both sides, and then they're both winning. They're both winning. Like, both of the places that, like, don't have a middle ground in this area. But back to what you were saying, I think there's a huge difference with that. I think trying to interrupt an election proceeding is a lot different than you know, destroying property. And in my opinion, it's just my opinion. I don't think it's right, but it's my opinion. I know a lot of people get ruffled with this. I'm only half black, but my people built this country. They can burn it down. You know what I'm saying? Like, they built the White House twice, and it took 44 presidents for one person to get in there. So I think we do. I think we're okay. As long as there's nobody getting hurt. I have also someone, I can't name him. He was in a lawsuit. It's on video. The person, a cop, no agitation, just protesting, peacefully protesting. A cop took my friend's mask back in the day when there was, you know, masks very prevalent, took down his mask and maced him in the face. And he won that lawsuit. He won that lawsuit. So again, I don't think, and I do, again, back to the crisis actors, I do think that there are people that agitate these situations and it makes it look bad for everybody. And I'm pretty sure there was some for January 6th too. They're not excluded. I'm pretty sure there were some assholes that just posed in there and just wanted to start some trouble. I'm sure there was some good intention people in there, but a lot of the footage there wasn't. But anyway, that's my opinion on that. I don't think that they're comparable. I know that people do. I know it's common that they do compare that, but I don't think those type of protests. I think they go more on the line of, you know, the other ones I said, like, what's it called? Rodney King. Those are more comparable, but like, the only ones that you can really, in my opinion, that you can compare is when the Black Panthers went to the Capitol buildings in California, and that's when they upped all the gun laws. That's the last time I remember somebody coming to a government official building and trying to cause havoc. And that's it, Melissa Barrera. I get you, dog. I get you. And I feel like we got a good scope of how Robert feels about the situation. Good job, brother. All right, let's get on to some poppy stuff. Let's get on to some poppy stuff. We're going to, what the fuck did Robert and I hear? So Robert has some new, let me start this one off. My bad, let me start this one off. I got to go with my homeboy. So this is from the Big Steppers tour. A nice couple, very naked.
Oh, what are they doing?
On a tiger rug. Yes. Very Disney, very Pixar. So I am a Drake fan. Let's get that out of the way. I'm a Drake fan, but I am a Kendrick and J. Cole fan, but I am not going to be one of those idiots that go, I'm a Mets and a Yankees fan. I'm a Nets and a Knicks fan. I'm a Jet. Like, no. I love bisexuals, but I don't think it works in sports. So, or in rap. I am a Drake fan. That is number one. Number two is J. Cole. Number three is Kendrick. Kendrick is amazing. I've given a lot of money to that motherfucker. He's like one of the only people that not only have I seen in festivals, but I've actually paid a separate ticket, a good ticket on the floor. J. Cole, same thing. Drake, the same thing. So even though I prefer Drake, that doesn't mean that I don't show the same homage. Lately, we talked about it on one of our episodes. You saw that, like that. That's with Metro Boomin and Future. Supposedly Drake fucked some of their girlfriends and some other people's girlfriends, and Kanye's involved with this. The whole industry, it seems like. ASAP Rocky made a song saying that he fucked his baby moms first. Crazy. I can't believe we're still that misogynistic where we need to talk about that. Whatever. Back, and then on top of that, so Drake came out with the song Push Ups that did very well on the charts. Rick Ross got called out. He made his own diss track, you know, making fun of his abs that he paid for, supposedly, nose job, saying that he's a white boy all of a sudden. You know, when they were doing tracks together with T-Pain, he wasn't white. But now he's a white boy. He's now Canadian. He's not American anymore. They were chilling in Miami. Now he's Canadian. I don't know what the fuck the beef is with Metro Boomin, to be honest. Maybe it is the girl thing.
Who the hell is Metro Boom?
Metro Boomin is a very popular producer. He is most notably, so he had a really good album by himself, kind of like a DJ Khaled type of thing, like, you know, having a lot of features.
Okay. Yeah, artists. Okay.
Travis Scott, he's kind of like that. He doesn't do as many ad-libs or talks on the tracks as much, but he's very good. He's very good. His one of his albums did very, very well. The last one, what was it
Check
called?
It, out.
It was very good. Yeah, I could research that real quick. But no, Metro Boomin is really good, but he's a producer. So, and you don't usually hear producers beefing like that. Oh, Make It Boom, that's what it was called. I saw his performance last time at Gov Ball. I've seen him also at Roots Picnic. But anyway, so they're all coming at him. Another one, The Weeknd never signed with OVO Sound, and there's been a big beef with that. So that's all in one push up. And that's another minority opinion that I have. I think Drake is winning this battle, but it seems after this Euphoria song that Kendrick just came out with in response to Push Ups, you know, talking, responding to the split comment about like Kendrick being under multiple people in the label. He responded saying, so are you, Baby Williams, Lil Wayne, Cash Money, Universal. He said pretty much everything that everybody else has said. A lot of people responding to the Pusha T comment saying the Pusha P, you weren't able to push T, which is Pusha T. He's talked about the grocery stores in Toronto because Drake said something about him being more popular in Compton in LA. It's just going back and forth. A lot of people, and I'm not one of them, are saying Drake shouldn't even respond because even in the end of the song, he's like, oh, we don't want you saying the word nigga anymore. And it's getting really personal. They think that it's going in the wrong direction. And that Drake, even though he's a very talented, and I think a very talented battle rapper, I think even more talented than Kendrick, even there's nothing new that Kendrick said, in my opinion. It was crafty. It was filled with entendres. It was even today, like, it's very impressive. Like, I will come back to the lyrics and I'm still digesting. So that was pretty impressive. The lyrical gymnastics. And that's what a lot of people have been saying. I've been seeing a lot of differences and a lot of old heads, including myself. I'm 37, be 38 this month. They're like, oh, Kendrick is like reading a book and Drake is like listening to an audiobook. Okay, they're like around the same age. So I don't understand like how their fan group got like segregated age-wise. That doesn't make sense. But whatever, that's a lot going on. Euphoria is doing very well. Oh, and one more thing. He came out with an AI diss track, Drake, where Tupac was one of the vocals, unauthorized, because he had to take it back because he got a cease and desist letter. Speaking of cease and desist, supposedly Drake did a cease and desist for French Montana, who has a beef with him too over that. He did a cease and desist for Like That, which is this whole thing where it stemmed from before the beef was simmering, when it all blew up. And Kendrick called out J. Cole and Drake for the big three and said, fuck you, I'm the big me. And so you have all of that mixed together. And so Euphoria is out right now and everybody's loving it. Some people, like the beat went all over the place. But now that I've listened to it a few times, I'm enjoying it. It's actually the theme song on our new post to promote this episode and this season. Damn, we were going for a while. And Drake, Kendrick, they all made a mess, Robert. How do you feel about this, man? You're a big rap fan. You were just singing Diamonds Are Forever, Kanye. Oh, Kanye has a diss track, too. This is crazy. There's a lot going on.
Well, Drizzy said, gather on together. So I just feel like it's a mess. You know, everything feels like a distraction. There's so much going on in the world, and it's like every artist is releasing new music this year. I think, you know, I was watching a video breaking down, like, why are we possibly seeing so many artists that are actually well-known release music this year? And there's not as much money in the music industry, seems to be the biggest consensus. Right. And I feel like the rap beef helps add to the money that is generated. So for, like, people like Nicki and Meg, that I followed a little more closely than I did with any of this beef going on, I can understand why all of that is just extra promotion. It's going to generate more funds into their pockets, and it's going to get more, you know, more trending with their names that they, a couple of these people probably haven't seen in a while. So yeah, I think it's all just, at the end of the day, it's a gimmick because it's nobody's really about that life. I even seen, who was it? Chris Brown and who was it? The guy.
Oh, wow. Good job, Robert Quavo from Amigos.
Yeah.
Two white, two women beaters. And they're both in both of their, and supposedly Chris Brown won. Like, he's the R&B guy.
Right.
And supposedly,
it's
like.
It's not, I think it's all bullshit. Like, come on. Come on.
So Chris Brown used to go out with Carucci, and now Quavo is. And again, they're both coming at each other because. Who did Quavo beat up? He beat up, was it Saweetie? And Chris Brown beat up Rihanna. And they're both like, you ever seen that Spider-Man meme where all the Spider-Mans are like pointing at each other? Like, yeah, that's them. I'll tell you on that one. I'll tell you.
It's all, I don't know. I think for me, it's just like, it's a mess. And I think Drake is really well known for being a very talented guy, and Kendrick for sure. And it's just like, and wasn't it J. Cole who just came out and said he really wishes he didn't say anything? Because he's you know,
yeah. So on Might Delete This Later, it was a mixtape by J. Cole, and he came out with 7-Minute Drill. I think we mentioned on the last episode. And you're right, took it back. He went on his Dreamville tour. He went on stage and he took it back. Jadakiss, a lot, again, there was various reactions. Jadakiss was disappointed that he did that because, like you said, rap beef, which I'm on the fence. I think that it's very, I think it's racist. I don't think anybody else has to do that. I don't think any other genre tears each other down like rap does. And it's expected. But I enjoy it. I enjoy it. It's like a guilty pleasure. And you're right. It gets me hyped. It's the topics that I brought to the show. It's something I'm very interested in. I love all three of those rappers. I was a little disappointed too, even though I still think it's like the origin of his races. I might be wrong about that. Maybe I'm like thinking too hard about it. But the fact that J. Cole, I thought that was a little soft. And I don't think that Pusha T won last time because I like bars, and Pusha T, I'm a big fan of Pusha T. Daytona is where he exposed him. The story of Adnan is where he exposed his child, like being born. And of course, Kendrick mentioned in the new song. But I don't know anybody that can remember any of his lyrics in that song. And the same thing with Nas. Like, Nas won Ether. And again, I'm on the minority opinion of that. Many people say that Nas won that.
But did they call him like a 30-year-old guy in a karate class or something?
You're right, but do you know the rhyme with that? He could have just said that on a video.
No, I'm saying Nas.
Did I know, Nas, I know. What is the lyric? Like, most of us would like say the whole lyric. Most of us say the whole lyric.
I just find out my brother always quotes that line, so it makes me laugh.
Oh, it's a great line. It's a great line. when I was working at Brute, when I said
like
that,
a rat, something like that.
Yeah. Joe Camel, like, it was all time. But I'm just saying, like, he could have went on a video and just ranted all those things. And to me, he didn't like, Nas is an amazing lyricist. And he usually has a better flow than that, in my opinion. And I just thought he must have had some really pent-up frustration because the same thing with Kendrick. Kendrick dedicated a whole song, so did Nas. Jay-Z and Drake, in my opinion, are above that, and they went after everybody. And so, and then, you know, the reason why people think Jay-Z lost is because of Super Thug and him stooping down to the level saying, I left the condom in the car with your girl, your baby mother, all that kind of stuff. And Jay-Z's mother made him apologize. That's a big reason to lose. Made him apologize public. It was messy, man. Like Power 105, that's when they came to prominence because Nas was boycotting Hot 97. That was a huge shift in hip-hop. So supposedly Kendrick Lamar didn't even want to come out with Euphoria until Taylor Swift, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. Her new album was out. It's been crazy, Robert, and I agree with you. It's insane. It's insane, but I gobble it all up.
It's a mess.
Moving on. Do you have anything else to add to it?
No, it's just a mess, and, you know, these guys, I think people in my circles are more interested who's leaking what videos that, you know, that are a little bit more interesting to to us. When Drake was trending with his nudes, that was more...
I haven't seen it, but I saw lots of memes on it, and I couldn't get a gauge of what people were seeing. Not that I don't care. I'm not in a rush to see his penis. Is it big? Is it like Safari?
Not big like Safari. It was nice, definitely.
Okay, Drake.
But they were trying to talk shit about him. They were trying to say he couldn't stay hard or something. There was a lot of jokes. I don't get why.
All right, Kendrick wins. I'm joking.
Oh my god, it was
crazy.
Like Michael Jackson says, they lie. They're making it up. Okay,
that's another line in there saying that Prince outlived Mike Jackson, and he called, like he said, "I'm your father. I'm Joe Jackson." It's been crazy.
Oh my god.
And that's big reason why I don't send dick pics, because everybody, I know girls that keep a collection of that shit. Like they'll literally they'll say, "Ugh," and then they'll be like, "In my folder, in my album," and then they show it to their friends, whether they want to laugh, whether they like, you know what I'm saying? So you don't, mark my words, whatever age you are, whether you're in high school, college, I don't care. If you're a grown ass person in the work field, do not send nudes of yourself. You are asking for it, man. I remember when the fapping happened. Jennifer Lawrence, Vanessa Hutchins. I took the day off.
Cut your head out.
I was like, that's I called into work and I was like, I would need some time.
Oh my god.
It was dark and sticky in my place for like 3 days. Like
another mess.
Right, Uber would come to the door like, yo, what the fuck? So don't do that, guys. Don't expose yourself. Don't expose yourself like Drake. Or else you'll be in your feelings. What do you say, Robert?
I said, we got to move on.
Yes, we do. All right, what's your topic? Oh, Taylor Swift. Did you listen to any of the songs?
I did. I noticed her, as soon as it started, it seemed very Lana Del Rey, I noticed.
Ooh, she's a big fan of Lana.
Yeah, and I noticed since she's adapted this folk sound, it gives very Lana Del Rey moments. There's some songs that I really enjoy in general from Taylor, and I was a fan. I do like her singles generally from her poppy albums and stuff like that, the country stuff. I like those. And this new sound works for me too. It's fun. I don't know. Nothing really stood out to me the way, like, I feel like on the previous albums, there was a couple that I liked that I really just like, oh, okay, I could listen to this again. Or she had one song that was really sad on her last album where they were like, she was talking to somebody who was like dying or something, like dying of cancer possibly. And they were going through, it was just... Yeah, it had some like deep moments, but this album, I don't know. Maybe I give it another listen through. Nothing stood out like that. Yeah.
Are you ready for my review?
Go for it.
All right. So I still think my top Taylor Swift albums are Midnights, Red, and this one is slowly growing on me. Fortnite with Post Malone, I enjoy it. Boy Who Only Breaks His Favorite Toys, I enjoy that. It's a little like you said, very pop. She is full pop now. I remember I was on a date with someone and it seemed like she took it very personally. She wouldn't stop talking about a coworker, an old coworker, And we couldn't stop talking about Taylor Swift because I said that she had country roots. We were talking about the number one genre, and now country is the number one genre in America at the moment. Not very surprised. You got Jelly Roll. You got a bunch of people. You got the people crossing over into it, like Beyonce, showing the origins of it in Black country music. You got the people you brought on to the show, introduced us to, and now Raina I'm enjoying Roberts. Their music. Yes. Even though Lil Nas X is not country, he crossed over with Billy Ray Cyrus with that. So it's led to here. And Taylor Swift has been one of the number one acts for a long time, and she started in country. So that was my only point. Like, those fans have lingered. And so when that genre is being amplified, she is going to bring that with it, along with pop. So, person disagreed, all good. Love you, homegirl. Love you, homegirl, still. Hope you still love me. Even though we don't date, that's okay. But back to the album. At 2 a.m. after she dropped it, I think it was like the day before 420, she released another like 15. So it's like 31 songs. I enjoy the song Florida with Florence and the Machine. She talks about a part of, like, you know, the criminals all moving down there. That is so true. Like, when you want to restart your life for some reason, even the movies, like, oh, yo, let's just escape to Florida. If it's not like Mexico or Canada or something, like, they're like, yo, let's just go down to the swamp. And I'm like, okay, that's where they're all at. There is a song, something about Amy, and that is about, thank you to Amy. And it's about the time that she
Kim Kardashian.
Yes, and Kim Kardashian recently, she's on American Horror Story, doing very well on there. She said, basically, get the fuck over it. Like, how do you feel about that? Like, do you agree with Kim, or do you deal with Taylor's therapy or catharsism?
Listen, all I know is, you know, people can talk about whatever they want, albums, but what the biggest thing that stood out with this album that I noticed is getting a lot of people chatting is that she has some line where she talks about she wishes it was like the 1930s again, but not in a racist way. And it's just like, oh, you privileged bitch. Like, shut
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
So she's really overexposed herself. I think, you know, especially when she had the concert film and then she just was everywhere with the Travis Kelce. So she could benefit from going away a little bit, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So I don't know. She has to watch out because it happens to artists all the time. Once you get too oversaturated, people lose interest. I don't know if that will happen to her the way she's like, you know, representing white excellence, but we'll see. We shall see.
Of course, I'm there's songs about her exes. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, it's all right to move on.
I hear you. Well, a couple more. There is a couple songs about her old ex. What's his name? You know, do you know his name? I forgot his name. She's working with the same producers. She has a couple songs about Travis Kelce. The one about her ex, the latest one before him, which she talks about a lot more than Travis, to be honest, is Goodbye to London or something like that. And supposedly it exposed one of his favorite coffee shops. So I'm with you. I'm ready to move on to. I do disagree, however, about the overexposure. Not that she's not. It's just that I don't know the exact date, but I don't think she came out with an album for a long time before Midnight. So, and the Eras Tour, I think there's a point to that. It's obviously combining her whole catalog together. So it was a big deal. Like when Justin Timberlake with 2020 Vision, 2020 Experience, you're absolutely right. And then I do agree. I think she is going to go on a break. She's doing the European tour right now, which is a huge tour. She just got done with the US version. So or she could be like Drake. Drake never takes a break. He tells everybody he's about to do a break, but he doesn't. So I'm with you. It could be strategic. Let's get to yours. Let's get to your topics. Tell me.
All right. I'm going to stick to just one topic for sake of time. And okay. I'll just say, you know, my girl Normani of Fifth Harmony fame, she released a new song with Gunna, 159. And it was a very smooth track. She gave a little Aaliyah, Janet, like, turn me up on the beginning of it. and it was very R&B, smooth, kind of sexy vibe. And yeah, it was very, it was, yeah, the best way to describe it is just like a sexy jam, like, you know, kind of like alluding to like a hookup. And, you know, I have my Janet Jackson playlist, and I was like, oh, I could actually, it made me want to make a new playlist that combines the people who are seemingly influenced heavily by Janet. I was like, I need a Janet Sierra Normani hybrid playlist, you know, because those are her children, those are her babies when it comes down to the sound. So the song was cute. It definitely not like, you know, she remembered that she had that song with Cardi B, Wildside. That was like,
yeah, I've heard it. I'm not really into Normani like that.
Okay, and then she had her song that was like a Ariana Grande leftover that she performed at the VMAs. Let me slow it down. I'ma be your motivation. You know, she did.
I feel inspired.
But that showed me, you know, we look at someone like Taylor Swift, right? For example, who people always say, I want to put about as much work into something as like Taylor Swift, like, because it seems like she just comes out on the stage and just like, and like, not necessarily known for having such a high range.
No, she doesn't.
And she can just do whatever, like, just walk around and that's it. And get all this great notoriety. And some people even criticize, like, her lyrics are barely there, right? Sometimes they're like, yeah, she's all right.
They are very kids bop. I agree.
Right, but then you have someone like Normani, who's like, you know, not that necessarily her lyrics are always that amazing, but when she comes on stage, she's literally doing backflips into splits, you know, to, right. And it's like,
what, she's not doing trapeze like Pink?
Right. I mean, that's probably next. But, you know, that's the thing where, I mean, it's like, you know, people of color, we got to work a lot harder than our competitors because it's just that way. Some people can get away with just
minorities. Is that what you're saying? We, people of color.
Yeah.
I agree.
You got to work a lot harder. You got to do a fucking backflip into a split to get some attention. Meanwhile, somebody could barely hit a note or sing, like Whitney Houston said about Paula Abdul back in the day. She's singing off key on the track, you know.
And Whitney is not a hater. Whitney bigs up people, all, especially the younger generation. We talked about it previously.
Yeah,
she's saying you're whack. She means it. I love Paula Abdul. One of the best dancers of all time. Not a good
she singer. Still is.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. She's up there with Debbie Allen. She's up there with J-Lo. Like, she's up there with, sorry,
Zay. I love her choreography. And I just put one of her song that she, that Randy Jackson produced, like, in 2008 or something.
That's a note for me, dog.
I just put it back on my gym playlist. Something about that. I just remember she had a microphone in the video that, like, moved and she danced with it. So I put that on.
So for but time, yeah. Let me shout out a song real quick, Bryson Tiller, Whatever She Wants. It's basically saying, yes, I'm going to spoil this woman. Do something about it. And shout out to my homegirl, Indigo, my old co-host on the Drop in the Flavor Network, which is now called S Street Media. We used to do a show called Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh. We used to go at it for various topics. Not to bore you, I won't bore you about the topic that we really disagreed on. It's not even worth it. But she has a great rack. Sorry that I'm getting down to my primitive level right now.
Oh my God, leave her alone.
And I'm not gonna lie, she put that on our post of this with the song in the background. I'm like, wow, I already love this song. And shout out to Panda Jean, a friend that I follow on Instagram. She posted a CT scan of her boob. That shit was hilarious. That shit was funny. And I'm like, I know, she was like playing around. She was like, you know, the not suitable for work material. And she was like kind of doing a play on that. But she's a very talented mortician. She's a very talented model. So shout out to her too.
You say mortician?
She just got her mortician license. So she's going to be, so if you need her to drain your brain through your nose, she's got you. You need her to the bottom line to drain you of all your fluids.
Great. Shout out to you, girl. They don't do it quite like you.
They definitely don't. And so we are on the next. Did you have anything more on music?
No, we got to move along. I'm ready.
Right, real quick, where the fuck did I go? I was in Mexico. I had a great time, lots of ceviche. I went off-roading by accident on a golf cart. Google Maps, I put the walking directions, so it almost took us off a cliff. Yeah, that shit was crazy. My friend was very mad at me at the time when it happened. The police, almost the security, actually, in the place. It was Southern Playa del Sur. And the place that we were near was the Norte Beach. For the tourist stuff, the Mayan ruins and stuff like that. It's not ruins. It's like kind of installations and reimagining of like their culture. Right near like this really scenic walk where the waves are hitting you. It was so gorgeous. So in Mexico, I went to Isla Mujeres, which is in Yucatan, Mexico. It is near Cancun. It's near Tulum. It's in that whole area, Playa del Carmen. Beautiful. Never been there before. Shout out to my boy Mark. Life is Mark is his YouTube channel. He doesn't really post that many new episodes, but he did a really good job with it. He's a very big Filipino fan base, and he is very good with the editing. But he rented a house out there, and we stayed there, me and my friend Ernesto, and it was gorgeous. Balcony, lots of dogs. There was a dog right across from us, right on the balcony. I thought he was going to fall every time, or she. It's a very dog-friendly city, actually. The dogs are just everywhere. They have leashes, but they just roam all over the city. Very low crime, which I don't care. I live in New York City. I live in Queens, South Side. Low crime adds character, in my opinion. But it's like a known thing. Like, they're very low on crime compared to, like, Cancun and stuff like that. Have you ever been to Mexico, Robert?
No, I haven't. I'm, like, salivating hearing your story. I'm like, I need to go.
All right. I know. We need to travel, bro. We need to, like, get some content out there, man. Hell yeah. Show. Yeah. Another country, another state. Stay tuned, guys. We're going to get that done one day. I also, for brevity's sake, I also had a great 420 weekend. Celebrate to the people that smoke anymore. My co-host doesn't partake anymore, but all good. Sober's cool sometimes. No, I'm joking. I am California sober, sort of. And I went to the Cypress Hill concert with Be Real. That was so good. Obviously, lots of smoke in the air, lots of ganja. It was in Brooklyn Steel. I went with my uncle and my cousin. I have something to admit real quick. I did not go to his bachelor party. I put that as, where the fuck did I go? One of the episodes that I lied. I didn't go. But we went out the night before his wedding, and his wedding was on 420. Shout out to him in Asia. Mazel Tov, Harry, he's a former producer of this show. It was a great time. Also 420, I did a video with hopefully a sponsor of this show soon. I got it from Bonnie and Clyde. I did a video with them. We did like rapid fire TikTok questions. And we had a great time in Washington Square Park. Lots of merchandise. I got too high and I could not go to one of my friend's gathering. She had a game night. And I was just like, I hit her up and I was like, I don't even know how I'm going to get
I'm
home.
Done. I'm
so
up.
Done. Yeah, that just tells you how great the products are. I got it from Bonnie and Clyde. Shout out to them. We'll be working.
Shout out to Bonnie and Clyde.
Right. I'm going to be producing events, videos, all types of stuff with them. Stay tuned for that. And again, hopefully we'll get like a discount code for this show. And we'll get like a sponsorship a little bit. We need that. I went to one more. Shout out to Eddie. Happy birthday to him. He had a great show on ABC News a few years ago called Going with Eddie. It was about subway etiquette. He is now also an event producer as well. And he is so funny. Robert, you got to check out Eddie Going. Exactly how it's spelled, just with an E-I, I-E, sorry. He's hilarious. He even does like flight etiquette. He travels a lot. Him and his partner Nick, they do a lot of lip syncing. It's hilarious. They're really funny. He's been a guest on this podcast. His partner Nick was just on a podcast. What is it called? I just watched it. It was so good. Sorry. I'll remember it next time. And let's hear about Moulin Rouge.
Diamonds are forever. I wanted to lower from the ceiling, but my swing is not back from the shop.
Yeah. Where's the rock, yo? Where's the rock, son?
Oh, that is Illuminati. I can't do that. Oh, I already got my Illuminati Disney shirt.
Freemasons!
I already got my Disney Illuminati shirt. So.
Oh, chill, Bob Iger. Chill.
I can't do too much of that. Throw the rock up.
Let's hear it. I've never seen the picture up.
They're gonna have an Illuminati breakdown video with me, and I'm gonna have the Rock sign up with like the rest
Listen,
of the people.
Even though I don't believe in the Illuminati, I will help you produce that, Robert. We can do that. We can make a documentary.
I do not
want to
be in them.
I got
but,
you.
I did see Moulin Rouge on Broadway. Shout out to my mama, Mama Lou. She took me to go
see that.
Thank
Can't
you,
lose,
Mom.
Lose.
That was awesome. She treated me. That was so lovely. And we got to see it, and it was I was running. We were running late. It was like a whole situation with
no, not you, Robert.
Sorting it out, and I'm like, "What the fuck?" And she and I both hate to be late to anything. Like we are the type to get places 30 minutes early, preferably than you know, than ever 15 minutes late. That's like unheard of. We're both. Are like really, you know, stringent on those things. But yes, the show, it was great. Some of the best costumes and choreography that I've ever seen. The lighting, the staging. It was a beautiful theater. The people who were attending to, you know, to get the patrons into the seats. Cause like I said, I ended up being like 15 minutes late because of traffic and BS. You know, they seated us really quickly and got us in there right as Satine came down from the ceiling to sing her Diamonds Are Forever song. So, yeah, that's what I'm singing. I'm not singing it from Kanye, let it be known. I'm singing it from
Moulin Rouge. Best version. That's the best version. Late
yeah,
registration.
Right.
Put respect yeah, right. on this man's
Put respect
name.
On Nicole Scherzinger sang it too, and she did a spectacular job. She performed
She's
it
in the show. Oh, that's right. She is in it. The Pussy
No,
Cat
no
Doll.
She's not in it. She oh, performed it live. For like she did like
she's an amazing singer actually.
Yeah, she just won her Olivier Award, you know, in the UK for Sunset Boulevard. Yeah, so shout out to Nicole Scherzinger.
I love Nicole Scherzinger, to be honest. Again, I think a lot of people respect her because it's such her singles from the Pussycat Dolls are just so like they're like everywhere. They're like so much.
Yeah,
but she's good. She's good. She
won Dancing with the Stars.
Sorry.
She won Dancing with the Stars, and
yeah,
was
she's talented.
With Dancing with the Stars.
She's a five-tool player, man. She's amazing. I love Nicole.
I love her. But yes, Moulin Rouge is spectacular. The show's ending soon. It had Boy George in it, actually. He was playing one of the lead
chameleons.
Yes, and he at the end after they do kind of a little bit like an encore. So instead of the traditional bowing, they did a couple of jukebox songs, and he sang his song.
Sick. That's cool.
Yeah. He sang a couple of his songs. Everybody in the crowd went absolutely nuts for him. And yeah, it was a great time. It was a great time. The cast did a great job. The show's leaving Broadway soon enough. So I'm glad I got to see it before it left. And yeah, I would recommend at least, you know, go on YouTube and watch the bootlegs and whatever you got to do. But see the show. It's really worth a watch. Get the soundtrack on iTunes. I got pins. I got here's my playbill.
Moulin that's Rouge. That's one of Eddie's gripes. He thinks it's so corny when people put the playbill on their Instagram story, and I do it too. I do it too. I know. I do it too.
Eddie, sorry.
Take that. Kiss my rouge. I have one more question before we move on. So, what the fuck did I watch? And you'll start that off. Did it live up to the movie with Nicole Kidman and Ewan McGregor? And why does the gay community not like Nicole Kidman?
Does it live up? It was a completely different thing for me. I felt like it was way different. The movie, I felt like, got to spend more time building on the intimacy of the relationship between the main characters, you know, Satina and Christian, where in this, it really did feel a lot more like an ensemble where you got to... Even though it wasn't necessarily even got to spend more time with each of them, being that it was a stage play, there was a lot more songs going on. It didn't feel like there was a lot of talking as much as there was. I'd be curious to see some nerd who fucking did the breakdown of the percentage of talking versus just like regular singing. And even the songs, I don't know. I'll say
they
this.
They call that a geishio. No, I'm joking.
Right. In the original song, in the original soundtrack, I felt like the songs felt a little bit like deeper. Like the songs that they chose in this version, some of them were just like too much going on. Like, I want to dance with somebody. It's like, it's fun to look at, but it didn't really necessarily just bring me into like, oh, I love their love story. And though I did get teary-eyed at the end, and I'm a sucker for crying, especially when there's
now
a
wipe
death.
Wipe those eyes, boy. Wipe those
yes.
eyes.
Yes. When there's a death, I usually am like, oh, my God. Like, when I saw Hamilton, I was bawling the whole time. It didn't get me there. And I think some of the songs were not, like, as sophisticated. Some of it was a little, like, people kept laughing. That, and I went on Reddit, and someone was pointing out they were annoyed that every time a song started, the whole audience laughs. Because it's like, oh, I know that song. And it does take you out of it a little
bit. It was a
laugh
track, guys.
Yeah, but it does take you out of it a little bit when someone's like, it's, you know, even if the words are supposed to move the story along, if everybody in the audience laughs every time someone's saying something, you know, because the song is supposed to be in the words.
Yeah, it waters it down. It waters down the, I agree with you. Even when people say, I love you too much, or, which technically you can't say it too much, but I get it. You kind of like, for instance, my neighbor loves to say, good morning, hope all is well. Man, you cannot hope all is well 5 consecutive days in a row.
I hope all is well for you all the days of your life.
Yeah, but like, give me like a the cootie shots. Like, give me like a permanent version. Give me like a vaccine that hope is all well. Because I don't need to tell you things are all well every fucking day.
I hope you can.
Oh, all right, Robert. If you put it that way, I do sound a little aggressive.
You see our relationship, our bromance?
I do. Boop.
Okay.
Anyway, let's get into a little bit of what Robert's been watching lately. Hit us off, Robert. What the fuck did you watch?
All right, this one's gonna be a speed through because we gotta go. But I did watch. So to segue into it, there a lot of people are talking about Orphan 3 coming out soon.
During the pandemic. Oh, the last one was during the pandemic.
Right. And I finally just watched the prequel. Which was the last one that came out, and then I watched the original one, and I enjoyed them. They're such like good campy fun, and I will say, when it comes to the prequel, it was hilarious to me. I watched it with my mom, and what was hilarious is that they have the story is about a young, like a 10-year-old girl essentially, who's psychotic, but this is. But this is the spoiler, okay? You gotta watch it. It doesn't really, you know, the prequel. If you start with the prequel, it doesn't matter, like I did. You know, it's a young girl who has a disease, an older woman who has a disease that makes her look young. But in the prequel, she looks like she's 30 years old, just in a short body, and she's dressed like a little kid. So it's hilarious. And they
keep
using
a woman would die for that disease.
But she has a little body, but she still has the old face. So it's like, oh, you know.
I know, she like put aesthetics in the first one to like make it like even more so, but she had like nasty rotten teeth because she was so old.
Yes, but she looked 30 in the prequel, and that's what made me laugh the most. She just like, they had a stunt double of like a 10-year-old girl, and then you turn around and you see her old face. And it made me crack. I'm like, oh my God, they need to do a scary movie and make sure they do that. They need to get that orphan in there. Can I help you guys write that, please? But it was still, I enjoyed both of them. Julia Stiles was in the prequel, and then the
fun
woman
fact.
From, yeah,
fun fact. Horror movies in 2024 are doing abysmal. And the reason why that is a big deal is because that's how they fund big movie projects. As you know, they're very low maintenance and very low cost budget, and they generate a lot of money, and it greenlights a lot of independent films and even greenlights feature films. So that sucks. Yeah. So hopefully horror makes a comeback.
I went to see Abigail.
That's more recent. Oh, how was that?
Yeah, I just saw that with Melissa Barrera, actually. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
I love her.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a good time. I'd recommend it.
I'll watch that. Why not?
Yeah, I'd recommend it. It's a good time.
Horror disappoints me all the time, but they can keep doing it. For some reason, I just keep coming back.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was fun. I think, you know, it was the last film that the guy from Euphoria did, unfortunately.
No, that's not the one. Your Lucky Day was the last one. I just watched it recently. That's
okay. Well, it's like the last one that's coming out. because I think
Coming out, my bad. Because they even like did a tribute for him in the movie too, Angus Cloud.
They dedicated the film to him there too. I went to see it with Steven. Steven, shout out to you. He talks to the movies. He is like Brenda from Scary Movie. He is talking the whole time. Oh, girl, don't go in there. I'm like,
shake and spit in love. Shake and spit in love.
Oh, my God. Yes. He is Brenda. Know that when you go to the movies with him. I'm like, can you not? I got to lean this way away from him before he talks to me through the whole time.
Yo, Steve, we go to the movies together. That's how I am too, man. That's how I am.
At home, I will gladly talk shit through a whole movie and crack up, and I'll be glad to pause it so you get your whole joke in. But at the movies, I'm always like, I'm a people pleaser by nature. So like, I hate people to look at me and be like, oh, like you're talking. So I'm just very like, I don't talk. I'm not going to talk through a movie. If I do talk, it's going to be quiet.
I hear you.
I'm not trying to have people agree. I don't want people to agree with me who are around me. Like, oh, ho, ho.
I heard that.
Right. That's not what.
Amen to that, Robert, or whoever you are.
Right. I don't need that. But.
Good. Well, last year, real quick, Meg was out and it did very well. So that just shows you there's no blockbuster hit like that at the moment. What's the one with Smile? So it did very well last year and it's not doing five Nights at Freddy's. Right now, it needs to pick up. And Blumhouse is like one of the leading A24. They're one of the leading people in horror. So let's see if they get their act together. Real quick, let's list these off. Ripley's limited series is out. It did very well. It's in black and white. It is a remake of the one with Matt Damon. Very awesome. About 7 episodes. Fallout, Robert mentioned on the last episode. I finally caught up a little bit. Very good. The guy from Twin Peaks. The woman from Yellow Jackets, very well done. Very, in my opinion, I know a lot of people say that it's not as relevant to the video game, but I disagree. I disagree completely. I think they're doing a great job keeping up with the video game. I don't think you need to do that, but I know people are hardcore about that. Dead Boy Detective is supposed to be really good. I haven't seen that. That got a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. Loop is very good with Maya Rudolph. She is basically imitating Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, and she is going back to her nonprofit. And there's a great team there. The woman that won for Pose, she's the first trans person to win an Emmy. She's very good on it. She's another one that's amazing. My homeboy Ron Funches is hilarious on there. Go see that on Apple TV. Sugar, I haven't seen that yet, with Colin Farrell. It's supposed to be very good. It's supposed to be like kind of like Ray Donovan and Franklin, a limited series on Apple as well. That is with Michael Douglas in the later years of Benjamin Franklin. And I know that you saw Fallout. Is there anything interesting on there, Robert, that you would see?
I know I got to see Loot. My mom always brings it up to me. She's like, she loves Loot.
Loot, I knew it. I knew we were
spirits. I'll probably watch that eventually.
Nice.
I will probably watch that eventually.
And before we get to our last...
Anything on Apple has been worth the watch. So
I love Apple.
I could probably watch it.
We'll bend something together one day. I got you on Apple.
Yes.
Real quick, we got the first comment together before we move on to our last segment. Hello. Sorry for bothering you. Never mind. Spam.
Don't worry.
Oh my God. Yo, we almost got that. Bitcoin, yo.
Oh my God. That means so much to us.
Thank you. Thank you, bot. Easy Motifo. So anyway, what the fuck did we say? And we're going to get Robert out of here. He has things to do. So do I. Real quick, it's called Cinco de... Whatever, we'll do it next episode, the music one. But Cinco de Mayo versus May the 4th. Let's give a little history on both real quick. Cinco de Mayo commemorates the Mexican Army's unlikely victory over the French forces at the Battle of Puebla on May 5th. Despite being smaller and less equipped, the Mexican forces, led by General Ignacio Zaragoza, managed to defeat the French army, which was considered the most powerful military in the world at the time. The victory provided significant morale boost to the Mexican people and became the symbol of unity and pride. While it's not a major holiday like we have with Cinco de Mayo, it has evolved, especially in the United States, because the real one, I think, is in June or September. In celebration of Mexican culture and heritage, kind of like St. Paddy's Day, marked by parades, music, folkloric dancing, and traditional foods. Now, May the 4th, which is a more recent holiday, as of May 3rd, here are some updates. So May 4th is based on Star Wars, and that one's a little longer, so I won't read the whole thing. The popularity of the phrase grew among Star Wars fans over the years, and the internet helped spread it globally. By the 2000s, May 4th had become widely recognized as Star Wars Day. And I'll read off a couple of things that are in the works with Disney, because I am a big Star Wars fan. I'm not as huge as my brother, as a fan of Star Wars, but I just got into it. I love all the new series. I'm a big Mandalorian fan. I'm definitely watching the Darth Vader series that's going to be coming out soon. There's going to be another Mandalorian movie. I know Gina Carano is still suing Disney right now for her freedom of speech, which Disney says they have freedom of speech as well. There's also going to be a Darth Maul series, which is one of the villains from the first episodes. And I have two questions for you, Robert, before we go. Do you celebrate any of these? Do you recognize any of them? Do you have any fun?
Cinco de Mayo, I feel like, you know, here in the States, it's always a good excuse to have a good time. We always are looking for that, right? So I could appreciate people wanting to have a good time. So happy Cinco de Mayo to all you guys. And, you know, may the 4th be with you. I do enjoy Star Wars. I just got into them myself, films. So I do enjoy them. I did see all the old, the 2000s ones when they came out. So I'm like, oh, I know Darth Maul. I like his ass with the two.
Yeah,
right? The double-sided, what's it called? Lightsaber. The double-sided lightsaber, that is.
Right? The Riz Saber.
Okay. And shout out to Rosario Dawson, Ahsoka, Ahsoka.
That was a good series.
I didn't watch it, but I do. I can appreciate them having her as a star. And even though I hear that they might not potentially do a season 2, but at least she'll probably be in the films, you know, that they work out. So that'll be good. So.
And she was the voice of the Clone Wars. Fun fact: I stood on a bathroom line with her twice at two festivals. I was really inebriated, and each time I was like a little bit paranoid, because I was just like, I had to like double take. I had to be like, am I really like standing? Each time she was wearing black, nothing like crazy, like a hat. She was trying to be inconspicuous, and I'm not like that. I'm a real New Yorker. Real New Yorkers do not bother celebrities. Like, they'll say hi, they'll like give a quick like, I love your work, and they'll keep it moving. And that's what I did. I was just like, I was like, love you, Rosario. Both times. I think that even the second time when I was at Roots Picnic, that was the second time I saw her. Same outfit. And the reason why I know it was her, because each time I look, I was like, because I didn't know she was going to be at the festival that I was at. I was like, let me not, like, I know I might be tripping, because I do that a lot at festivals. So I'm like, I was like, I looked at like the websites or like Instagram or something, like, oh my God, she was there. I knew it was her. And both times. And the second time, like I said, I think she did recognize. She's like, I was like, I didn't even say hi this time. I was just like, again. And she like looked at me too, like, so yeah, shout out to Rosario. I love you, Rosario.
The best Mimi Rodriguez, Mimi from Rent.
She's the best.
She should have got an Oscar.
1,000 minutes.
Everything.
I agree. She's a very underrated actor.
Golden Globe. She should have been nominated. A SAG. That film is criminally underrated.
True. And she
barely her performance in particular. Take me out tonight. All right.
All right. Let's get you out of here. Let's get you. Thank you so much, Robert.
Thank you.
Our first live episode together.
Can you keep up, baby boy? Let me lose my breath.
All right. So you better shut the fuck up, listen up, and keep up. My boy, Robert Mercado, world. Still been saying, you better keep up with all our social media profiles. Tell them real quick before we go.
Get us at Robert Mercado. Get me at Robert Mercado World. Follow the web series. Keep up the web series on Instagram and watch those episodes. And what about you, Ben?
You just type in Sylvan Sane. You can go on sylvansane.com, whether it's on YouTube, go on Twitch. There's lots of videos out there. There are different ones on Robert's, like he said, the web series where it's more scripted and it's a mix of improv and scripted gold. And there is a little bit of nudity on ours. So if you need to see a little bit more of Robert's nipples, you can do that. He has the best body out of all the whole cast, so why not? Why not show it off? The last episode was hilarious. I'll spoil a little bit for you. There's a shower scene. All right. Over and out, homie.
Later.